Divine Grace Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namchaya Shri Hari Rishthakur Ki Prams Kohos Krishna Chaitanya Kuvunitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shvasari Go Bhakti Vrinda Ki Sisi Radha Krishna Kugubina Shramakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam Preeminently, glorious to the assembled devotees, glorious to the assembled devotees, glorious to the assembled devotees, glorious to Guru Gurangaji, Hari Hari Bo. Dhruva, go into my room. There's a little black verse book. I think it's on my desk. Vaishnava verses. This morning we have the great privilege to be speaking and hearing Nakantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all scriptures, Canto 1, Chapter 2, text number 16, very famous verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shushushro Shraddhanasya. Vasudeva Katharuchi. Siyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Punyatirtha Nishevanat. Shushushro Shraddhanasya. Vasudeva Katharuchi Siyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevana Shushushro Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Siyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevana Shushushro. One who is engaged in hearing. Shraddhanasya. With care and attention. Vasudeva. In respect to Vasudeva. Kata. The message. Ruchi. Affinity. Syat is made possible. Mahat Sevaya. By service rendered to pure devotees. Vipra. O twice born. Punyatirtha. Those who are cleansed of all vice. Nishevanat. By service. Translation. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries, according to the supreme will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the asuras, and the demoniac followers of such asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In revealed scriptures, there is a definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or as an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself according to the indication of revealed scriptures, but he also played the part of a devotee. People who know him, knew him to be God, addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaved so as to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord himself. The Lord is more pleased when he sees his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 69, that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Shushisho Shradhanasya Vasudeva Katarvachi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirtanishevayat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from vice, a great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chaksudamilitam Jainatasmaya Sigurdave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindhube Vacha Patitanam Pavaneyo Vaishnavyo. So this is a very wonderful verse from this chapter, again, which is pregnant with so many essential verses to our Vaishnava philosophy. And actually this, the theme of this particular verse was, we spoke about it a lot during our tour in America. It was one of the major themes we discussed associating with devotees. And we often brought up the point that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Lila section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Sanatana Goswami in the science of devotional service. And he mentions 64 items which are particularly favorable for advancement on the path of devotion. And then he summarizes those 64, and he says that out of those, the five are the most important, and we've discussed this before. That is chanting the holy names of the Lord, hearing the Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in a holy place like Mathura or Vrindavan, and associating with devotees. And we've discussed also on our tour these five essential ingredients of devotional service, and we've mentioned that they're all important, but we could say, we could take an educated guess, that the essence of the essence is association with devotees. Because the other four items of devotional service are really dependent upon association with devotees. We get the Maha Mantra from a Vaishnava guru, and the full benefit of chanting is obtained when one gets a diksha, initiation into the chanting of the holy names. One can always get benefit by chanting Hare Krishna, but our ultimate aspiration in Krishna consciousness is to get prema, to achieve pure, unalloyed love for the divine couple, Gandharvika Giridhari. And to achieve that, Prabhupada said, you have to receive the mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, through the Guru Parampara, the disciplic succession. So that's why initiation is so important. Also, we get benefit and realize the glories of the holy name in the association of devotees, especially by having kirtan in the association of devotees. That utska, that loud chanting of the holy names, penetrates the ignorance in our hearts and destroys our doubts and helps us awaken our love for Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam should only be heard from the lips of a devotee, not a non-devotee, although non-devotees, they have the audacity to sometimes comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. Even the impersonalists, they sometimes, quite often, they speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, but they poison the hearts of their audience because they're not interested in devotional service to Krishna. They're interested in becoming one with Krishna. So we have to hear Bhagavatam from the lips of a devotee. The whole process of devotional service is understood through hearing. We say that a saintly person, he sees through his ears, not through his eyes. So through the mouth of the devotee, and we hear from him, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is revealed. Worshipping the deity of the Lord, it's a very exacting science, and we have to learn it from a liberated soul like Srila Prabhupada. Associating, or rather, living in a holy place like Mathura Vrindavan. Prabhupada said the real benefit of going to a holy place is to associate with the holy persons who live there. So like that, we understand that of these five essential items of devotional service, we could say associating with devotees is the most important. And Sri Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion, he also discusses these items of devotional service. And he mentions that they're so potent, they're so transcendentally potent, these five items of devotional service, that if a neophyte devotee develops even the slightest attraction for any one of them, he can experience devotional ecstasy. Now, devotional ecstasy is the reward of many years or perhaps many lifetimes of devotional service. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Samahatma Sudulabaha. This is a verse which Sri Prahlad, you may have noted, quoted in one of his classes recently. Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sudulabaha. Krishna says in Gita that after many, many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders to me. So this indicates it may take many lifetimes to really achieve the stage of pure, unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Atmanivedanam, the ninth item of the nine activities of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam means when the devotee becomes fully surrendered. His body, mind, and words are totally surrendered to the service of the Lord. At such a stage of full surrender, one comes to the level of bhava. Bhava is just the preliminary stage before love of God. When one begins to experience devotional ecstasies because of the pure service he is offering the Lord, this is a very advanced stage.
Where are we now in our Krishna consciousness? There's different gradations of Krishna consciousness. Ato shraddha tata sadhu sangha tata bhajana kriya nartana vriti syat. This is the first half, when we're becoming freed from anarthas by taking up the path in faith and practicing bhajana kriya, the rules and regulations of devotional service. And then only when the heart becomes free of anarthas, like lust and anger and greed, one becomes nishta steady, he gets a little ruchi, a little taste, and then maybe some bhav. Rupa Goswami says that even those in that stage, anartha nivriti, who are trying to become freed from lusty, greedy, angry qualities within the heart, still these processes, these items of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in a holy place and associating with devotees, these things are so potent that even a neophyte devotee, he said, that he can experience ecstatic emotions in Krishna consciousness. How potent they are. So, as we were saying, we could take an educated guess and say that this association with devotees is most essential. And its importance can also be realized in a statement by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He's addressing those who are just on the verge of taking up spiritual life. People take up spiritual life out of the masses of people. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschidyadati siddhaye. Krishna says out of millions and millions and millions of people, perhaps one will be interested in the science of self-realization. And he says, out of those, hardly one understands me in truth. But he's speaking to those persons who are just, who as a result of becoming distressed, who are curious about spiritual life, who are looking for some monetary or some material reciprocation from God, or looking for knowledge. Those four types of people who approach God, initial first steps in spiritual life, he's giving them a little advice. Just like when your children are growing up, that at some stage you bring them into the room and they're intelligent enough now to take some advice. They're old enough to hear and act on that knowledge. So you say, my dear boy, I'm going to give you a little advice. My dear daughter, I'm going to give you a little advice about life. So that stage, when we're ready to make the big leap forward and advance, take up spiritual life, the path of devotion to God, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has given us some very sagacious advice, some great wisdom. He said, the search should not be, my dear children, for God, but rather the search should be for those who can take you to God. That's the idea. We want to begin spiritual life, so what do? Should we go directly and look for God? He says, no. Your search should not be for God at this stage. Your search should be for a person who can take you to God. And Prabhupada gave the analogy. He said, just like if someone's in the desert and he's dying of thirst. Now, desert is a place which is devoid of water, although sometimes there may be little pockets of water here and there. Oases, as they're called. Or if you're an experienced traveler in the desert, you may know some secrets. Like when I was a boy, we lived in California, and most of Southern California is a desert region. And a little to the east, there's states like Arizona and New Mexico. And to the south of California is the country of Mexico and Baja California, they called it, a little extension there. So in the earlier days, the pioneers would be coming through there, and one would think, how they're going to survive? But they knew some tricks. The tricks was that you could take the cactus. Cactus is like an old prickly plant that grows in the desert, and you may just want to avoid it but actually the cactus has the unique feature that it, whatever water there is under the ground, it soaks it up and it stores it in its tissue. So what you do if you're dying of thirst in the desert, you don't have to find a great oasis. You simply look at an old prickly, ugly cactus plant. You cut it and you chop it in the center and you suck on it. You get plenty of water, plenty of moisture. But you may not know this. You may be ignorant of where is the oasis, where the value of a cactus plant. You have to know, find someone who's experienced. So because you don't know, then you find someone who knows, and they can direct you to water. Tadvidi paripatena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ganinash tattvadarshana. If we want to learn the truth, we have to approach self-realized souls who are tattvadarshis, who are in knowledge of Krishna and the process for achieving Krishna in devotional service. So our search should not be for the water, but for the person who can take us to the water. The search should not be for God, but we should seek out and find the association of those who are well-versed in the science of pleasing God. Those are the Vaishnavas, those are the devotees of the Lord. And actually, for the aspiring devotee, more important than associating with God is associating with devotees of God. Even if you were to get God's association, you wouldn't know what to do. You may not know how to benefit from it. There were plenty of people on this planet who had Krishna's association 5,000 years ago. By his mercy, even demons were able to see him. But did they benefit? No. So even if you had God's association, you may not know what to do with it. You may not know how to get the real benefit of it. It's like a child, he gets a very valuable thing like a computer. If it's a little baby, he just want to put it in his mouth. That's all babies do. Up until, 1 year old, they're just anamoya. They just experience everything. Just everything's in the mouth. I watched the babies. We went through somewhere recently. There were babies everywhere. Hungry. Lots of babies. They're all putting things in their mouth. So they don't know how to take advantage of the computer. So even if you had God's association, you would know how to approach him. You wouldn't know what the do's are, what the don'ts are, what is favorable, what is unfavorable. You may not be able to get full advantage of God's association. So therefore, the Shastra says, more important than associating with God is associating with the realized devotee of God who can teach you the do's and the don'ts, what pleases God, what doesn't please God. It's a great science, devotional service. Anibilasita sunyam jnana karma navitam anukalena krishnanu shilanam bhaktarutama. This is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Nectar of Devotion. Anibilasita sunyam jnana karma navitam anukalena krishnanu shilanam bhaktarutama. It teaches us how to approach our Ishtadev, Krishna, Radhan Krishna, and get the maximum benefit from their association. That is that one must perform devotional service, freed from any material desires, mental speculation, desire for liberation. One should approach only for the desire to serve Krishna, according to Krishna's wishes favorably. Now that we don't know, so we have to seek out the association of the devotee. Therefore, Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee, he's not really my devotee, but one who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee because he's surrendered to the process of understanding Krishna through the medium of his transparent via medium, the spiritual master. So therefore, association with a devotee is more advantageous than associating with Krishna himself. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he analyzes this very nicely. He says that, he gives us a way to appreciate that. He says that, he gives the opposite. He says that it's more dangerous to associate with a man who's attached to women than to women. He says it's more dangerous because, to associate with a man, a lusty man who's attached to women, by his association, that bad association, the fire of lust is ignited within your heart. So he said, more dangerous than associating with a woman, we're speaking about materialistic ladies, more dangerous than associating with a woman is to associate with a man who's attached to women. So he said in the same way, more favorable than associating with Krishna is to associate with a devotee who's attached to Krishna. Isn't that a wonderful analogy? Because just like you can become lusty in association of lusty persons, Prabhupada says here in the purport, by associating with devotees of the Lord, one imbibes the spirit of Krishna consciousness. It's a transcendental mystery for those who are not devotees. How it is, by associating with a devotee, you take on the qualities of that devotee. Prabhupada said that you take on the qualities of that with which you associate. And we often, in our public lectures, we try to impress the people like this, that if you associate with a businessman, you become like a businessman. If you associate with a student, you become like a student. If you associate with a first-class person, if you associate with a bum, you become... So if you associate, by association with the devotees, you imbibe the whole spirit of Krishna consciousness. And that's why Prabhupada said 90% of our advancement is depending on association, good association. And he also said, if you if you leave the association of devotees, it's very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. To think we can make advancement outside the association of devotees, he said, is like living in an hallucination. So living, associating, serving the devotees is essential to our progress in Krishna consciousness. And we can appreciate that, again, in another angle of vision, because the devotees' association is so wonderful that even Krishna hankers for it. Even Krishna hankers for the association of his devotees. Now, if Krishna is hankering for the association of devotees, then how wonderful that association must be for ourselves. Krishna is always hankering for the association of his pure unalloyed devotees. There's unlimited examples of this. A few of them come to my mind, that how much Krishna loves his devotees. Sri Rupa Goswami, when he was in Vrindavan, he would often do his bhajan on the banks of Radhakund. And you know, if you've been to India, that Vrindavan is the coldest place in India, or one of the coldest places in India in the winter, and is one of the hottest places in India in the summer. So when Rupa Goswami would do his bhajan, he would do his bhajan near the shores of Radhakund, that lake which is most dear to Radha Rani and to Krishna. And he would do his bhajan there, and one time he was doing his bhajan by the shores of the Radhakund, and in those days it was Vrindavan was a jungle. Even up till the 1950s, it was like a jungle-like region. One old friend, if I could say, have the privilege of calling a friend, Bhagaji Vishwambar Goswami, was a very dear friend of Srila Prabhupada, and he used to personally serve Prabhupada. He was about Prabhupada's age, a little younger perhaps, but they had a very close relationship because Prabhupada lived in Vrindavan in the earlier years, preparing his mission for the West. And this Bhagaji was one of the friends Prabhupada had, and he donated the land for the Gurukul, and he used to come and just talk Krishna consciousness, Krishna Katha with Prabhupada, sometimes alone in the room in the evening. Prabhupada enjoyed his association. So Bhagaji told me, he was very friendly to us, Prabhupada's disciples. He was kind of like an uncle for us. And uncles are generally often very friendly and loving to their nephews. So he was our spiritual uncle, Bhagaji. And he'd sit and talk about Krishna with us for hours and tell Prabhupada stories before Prabhupada came to the West, what it was like and everything. So Bhagaji told me that when he first moved to Vrindavan, when he renounced householder life, he came to Vrindavan in the 1950s. He said the village of Vrindavan was very small. He even showed us a photo. Vrindavan looked like any little village anywhere in India, you know, just a few structures and this and that and dusty lanes, and you know, so much different than what we know it now. And he said that outside the village, you know, the village wasn't very big, but just outside the village, all the Vaishnavas, the bhajan anandis, they would have their little kutirs. But the danger was that the tigers would come and eat them at night. A tiger. In the 1950s, 1958, 1960, 61, 60, tigers would come. This is Vrindavan. But we just drive, you know, in the motor car now, 2 hours in Delhi, and get out and walk around, and you know, you never see a tiger. All you see is monkeys. So he said that I said, wow. And we're like little children listening to Grandpa. What did you do, Grandpa? Hello. He said, we learned from the sadhus, you just put a big bowl of milk outside the grass hut, and the tigers would come, and instead of coming in and eating the yogi or the devotee, they'd just drink the milk and go away. So I thought, well, next time I'm in an area where there's tigers, I'll just put out a big cup of milk. I thought it was very interesting. This is the old India. There's so much disappearing very quickly. You know, when I think of India, when I think of Vrindavan, what it was like when I first went in the early 1970s, and what it's like now, it's like so much different. We're so lucky. We're just getting that last glimpse of Vedic culture. Prabhupada said, even Vedic culture is dead, he said. It's dead. But still, even though it's dead, it's still valuable. He said, just like an elephant. An elephant is so valuable when she's alive. So valuable when she's alive, an elephant. But when she dies, she still has some good value. her ivory tusks. Her bones are also used. Her skin is used for so many. So even though she's dead, she's still valuable. So even though Vedic culture is still dead, it still has some value. So we're just seeing the dead Vedic culture, but even then it's so valuable and quickly disappearing. So we have to run to Vrindavan and get this last glimpse of this wonderful Vedic culture. But anyway, the tiger. So Rupa Goswami is meditating on the shores of Radhakund, and the tigers would come. So one day, to protect him, Krishna appeared. Rakhi Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rakike. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if Krishna wants to save you, even the most ferocious tiger cannot touch you. So Krishna stood there protecting his pure devotee. He loves his devotees so much that he personally appeared and just stood guard while Rupa Goswami did his bhajan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna's keeping the tigers away. So how much Krishna loves his devotee. So how valuable is such a devotee's association? If Krishna loves his devotee so much, he's prepared to come and do the security for his devotee. How dear that devotee is to Krishna. How valuable that devotee's association is for us. Another time, Rupa Goswami, he was meditating in the hot sun. These devotees are so renounced, so disinterested in the material world, so disinterested in material life, they don't even bother to construct a dwelling place. They just go out and sit down in the Chintamani dust of Braj and just do their bhajan, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, the blazing sun. So suddenly one young girl appeared, and with her veil she covered Sri Rupa Goswami to protect him from the sun. So in both these instances, the elder brother of Sri Rupa Goswami, he considered Sanatana Goswami his spiritual master, actually. In both these instances, Sanatana Goswami, and he came and he saw, oh, there's Krishna. So when he saw Krishna protecting Rupa Goswami from the tiger, he chastised, you're supposed to be giving service to the Lord, but you're taking service from the Lord. This is not very good. And second time, Radharani, Sanatana Goswami, said, Radharani, you're taking service from my... So, amen. But this is how much Krishna loves his devotees. So what is the value of the association of such a devotees of the Lord for us who are aspiring in Krishna consciousness? Another time, just to show you how dear the devotees are to Krishna, who is Krishna's dearmost devotee? Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavan Ishwade Brishabana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari. She's the dearest devotee of the Lord because she possesses the Mahabhav. She actually controls Krishna by that, her loving sentiment. So one time Radha and Krishna had a rendezvous. They often have these Shisi Gandharvika Girid Hari Ki. They have rendezvous at different times of the day, starting around noon. Krishna will be with the boys and he'll just make some excuse. I might just have to go somewhere for a minute. Okay, Krishna, you come right back. Krishna disappears. He's at a rendezvous somewhere in Vrindavan with Radharani or the gopis. So one time Krishna had a rendezvous with Srimati Radharani at Radhakund, again on the banks of Radhakund. So many of their pastimes are taking place at this sacred abode. So Radharani was waiting. She decorated the kund very nicely, and she decorated herself very nicely, and she was waiting with her sakis and her manjaris for Krishna to come for their special rendezvous. And Krishna didn't come. She's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Krishna's not coming. So she said to her dearmost manjari, Sri Rupa Manjari. Who is Rupa Manjari? In this world, Rupa Manjari is Rupa Goswami. So we can understand why Rupa Goswami so much understands the intricacies of pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna. Because in the spiritual world, he's Sri Rupa Manjari, one of the young confidential associates of Radharani. So she said to Radharani, she said to Rupa Manjari, oh, go find Krishna, he's late. So Rupa Manjari, she stormed out of the kund. She's very angry. Why this Krishna is disturbing my mistress? They're more devoted to Radha than they are to Krishna. What is Krishna's a rascal? So she went down along Govardhan Hill and she was looking all these, because boys play there in the caves. And then she got one idea. Okay, I'll go to Gaurikund. Because in Gaurikund, that is where Chandavali, that's her kunj. And she's the She's the opposition party from Radheswar, the competition. She's the right wing. Radharani is the left wing. She got to Gaurikund, and sure enough, she walked into the kund, and there was Krishna, associating with Chandravali. And Sri Manjari became very angry. She said, "Why? Don't you know, Krishna, that there's a great demon that has attacked your devotees at Radhakund, and they're about to give up their lives because of this demon? You must come immediately and rescue your devotees." And Krishna got the hint that out of separation from Krishna, his devotees were dying in the fire of separation. So he made some excuse to Chandravali, "I must go now." So she's very submissive. Radharani is not so submissive. She gets the mind. She becomes angry with Krishna. But Chandravali, she's more submissive. "Oh, you have to go to kill the demon, all right, so you go." So as soon as they left the Kunj, they're going back along that side of Govardhan Hill up to Radhakund, because Gaurikund is down near Govindakund, not far from Govindakund. That's where Chandravali has her Kunj. So they have to go all the way back, all the way up the Govardhan Hill to the other end. The other end is where Radhakund, Shamakund, they're considered like the eyes of Govardhan, and the body of Govardhan, the tails, right? The tail end is where Chandravali has her kund, and the other side is where Radharani has her kund, her lake. So as soon as they got out of the kund and they're going back, then Shiva Manjari is very angry, and she's chastising Krishna that, you know, Radha decorated the kund and made everything so nice, and you're not there. And Krishna's saying, "Please don't tell her where I was." "I'm going to tell her. She's my mistress. I tell her everything. I'm going to tell on you, Krishna." Krishna said, "No, please don't tell her. I'm going to tell her. Oh, please don't." So they're going like this, and Krishna's begging his devotee, Rupa Manjari, to please not tell on him. So they get all the way to, almost you enter into the Radhakund, and Krishna falls on his knees, and he takes the feet of Rupa Manjari. He says, "Please, your shyam is begging you, please don't." "All right, I won't tell her this one time, but don't you ever do." "Oh, yeah." So these devotees, they have Krishna in the palm of their hand because of their bhakti, because of their devotion, because of their love for Krishna. The Western Dictionary describes that God is the supreme controller, but it appears that more powerful than God is bhakti. And where do you get that bhakti? You get that bhakti from a devotee. So that stresses again the importance of association with devotees. That bhakti is much more valuable than anything of this world or anything of the other world. It's more valuable. First canto, 18th chapter, 13th verse of the Bhagavatam. "The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets, or liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death." So what can you get from a devotee? You get more than you can get all the worldly benedictions you might get from the demigods. It's more valuable than that. It's more valuable than attaining the heavenly planets. It's more valuable than even liberation from matter you can get from a devotee. Bhakti, or devotion. So as a devotee teaches us to associate with the Lord in love, so we have to learn the science of associating with devotees. How, just like we don't know how to approach Krishna, we learn that through his servant, devotee. So similarly, we may meet the devotee of the Lord, and to get the benefit of his association, we have to know what to do. We don't want to make the mistake of, like, the first disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They were in the association, again, of a very intimate Brajabasi. They could hardly know the value of the association they had in the pure devotee of the Lord. But they didn't even know the basic etiquette of associating with the Vaishnava, with the devotee, with the spiritual master. We're told that when Prabhupada was living with the devotees, in some circumstances, Prabhupada would have to live with the devotees, like in his loft in the Bowery. A few devotees would kind of cram in and live with Prabhupada. Prabhupada would have to wait in line to take a shower. When Prabhupada would cook the feast at 26th Second Avenue, everybody would come in and they'd eat the feast and they'd all leave, all their dirty plates on the ground. Prabhupada would have to clean up. This Dayananda Prabhu, we gave a few lectures at 26 Second Avenue. What a wonderful place to lecture. Right next to the dais where Prabhupada lectured, there's a little seat for the speaker. You sit there and you speak. They haven't changed anything. It's just like it was when Prabhupada was there. Of course, new, fresh paint, but the old paintings that Jadarani did, and pictures from the old days, and the same glass window. Everything's very much the same. You're sitting there lecturing right next to that historic place where the Sankirtan movement started in the Western countries. You can see the little bathroom where the bum came and put the toilet paper, and the devotee scowled, and Prabhupada said, no, he's doing devotional service. It's the beginning of his devotional life. Agyata Sukriti. So all these, so you're there, you're lecturing, and I was remembering how Prabhupada would cook a feast there, then he'd distribute the feast to the devotees, and they'd leave, and he'd clean up, wash their plates, wash the pots himself, and then take rest. They didn't know how to associate. Gradually, Prabhupada, he didn't want to, put too many rules and regulations on the beginning, so he had to tolerate that situation. And one day, Umapati Swami came up and said, Prabhupada, there's some, Swamiji, there's some rules that we can follow besides just chanting Hare Krishna? Ah, you were finally asked, yes. And then Prabhupada wrote down those famous 10 points, instructions which we often post in the temple. What is it called, Prabhupada? The 10 instructions or something, No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no intimate associate with non-devotees, like that. Those 10 rules that it's photocopied and placed all over ISKCON temples. Is there a prayer that we can glorify you by? Yes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami. And they came back later. Is there another prayer? Yes. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani. Prabhupada penned that himself. He wrote his own pranam mantra. Because the other mantra is general. But he wrote his own pranam mantra. Can we have another prayer for you? So he went to his room. Namaste Saraswati Deva. Oh, servant of Saraswati Goswami, servant of Bhakti Sanantasa. I offer my obeisances to you. You have kindly come to the Western countries and are delivering us from impersonalism and voidism. This Prabhupada wrote his own prana mantra. So, there is a science of associating with devotees of the Lord. And we could speak for many, many days, months, years about this. But eloquence is truth spoken concisely, so we can just summarize Bhagavad Gita, which is the ABCs. When we approach a devotee of the Lord, what are the initial guidelines? Tadvidhi paripatena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ghaninas tatva darsanaha. There's some little key words in there. Just try to learn the truth. The absolute truth, not the relative truths of this world. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Okay. Now what? Tadvidhi paripatena. Pariprasana sevaya. Pariprasana sevaya means pariprasana. You inquire. Kayami, as Srila Sanatana Goswami did. There's many examples. There's the philosophy and there's examples. Examples higher than precepts. So Srila Sanatana Goswami, who was so learned in all material sciences, languages and sociology and mathematics, Goswami, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the blade of grass, and they're saying I'm very learned. But you know what? Kayami. I don't even know who I am, so I'm a fool. So pariprasana, you inquire about Krishna consciousness from a self-realized soul. Anything else? Yes. Shevaya. You render service to that personality. You engage in some devotional service. You reciprocate by helping the spiritual master. Sya vasudeva katarvachi syan mahatsevaya punyatirthasyeva. What is the result of such service? You gain an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. Krishna consciousness becomes attractive to you. Just like Narada Muni. Narada Muni was the son of a Sudarani, village woman. He was actually cursed. The pastime is that he was cursed from the heavenly planets to come to this world and take birth in the womb of a Sudra. So he wasn't a very elevated situation. But we hear that when the Bhaktivedantas came, Bhaktivedanta means those who are understood the conclusion of bhakti or devotion, that's the Siddhanta, Vedic scriptures. When those maharajas, when those sannyasis came and happened to stay in that area where his mother was, and she was cooking and doing some service for them, like that, he got the opportunity to take some remnants of their prasad. And he said, upon tasting the remnants of the food of those devotees, immediately the very nature of the transcendentalists became attractive to him. Before, he didn't have any attraction. But when he did some sevaya, prasad sevaya, taking prasadam is a service, actually. The spiritual master is very pleased when he sees us honoring the remnants of Bhagavad prasadam. We don't eat good food. With great respect, we take Krishna's mercy, we place that into our mouths and pray for purification, pray for bhakti, for devotion to Radha and Krishna. It's a service, rendering devotional service, spiritual mass. By that agyata sukriti, by even unknowingly performing that devotional service, immediately, poof, he got some affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. He got some inclination to do devotional service. This is the mystery, the transcendental mystery of associating, hearing from, and rendering service to the devotees of the Lord. So, of course, much could be said in this subject matter, but we only have 2 minutes left. But, you know, what type of association is afforded to us to inquire and to render service to the devotees? What type of opportunities? There are two types of this, manifest and unmanifest, you could say. There's vani and there's vapu. Vapu means that we, for a few moments in our life, we have the personal association of the spiritual master, for example, because the disciple sees the spiritual master as the best devotee. That's why he or she has chosen this person to lead me on the path of Krishna consciousness. So we have the vani and the vapu, and there's different instructions, different ways to associate in vani and vapu as well. In vani, personal association, we have the opportunity to cook for our spiritual master, to wash his clothes, to clean his room, to drive him, to inquire from him. But these moments may not be the majority in our life, just like even Prabhupada. He had, you know, amongst his godbrothers, he had very little association with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very favorable to our Prabhupada, he treated him with great affection, so much so that when the big sannyasis, they complained, "You're giving so much association to this to Abhai Charan. He's just a householder." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "You be quiet." He said, "In due course of time, he will do everything." So he knew the potential of his Abhai Charan, his disciple, and he gave Prabhupada a lot of intimacy. So they used to walk together and talk together and so forth. There was some intimacy there. Eternal relationship. So there was some intimacy there. But really, Prabhupada didn't have that much association. He received some veritable instructions in Krishna consciousness. Some important vani. Vapu is the personal association. So the vani is the instruction. So Prabhupada got, as we know, we won't go into detail because time is short, but we know the instructions amongst them. If you ever get money, print books. Preach, you look like an educated young man. Why don't you take the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world, preach in the English language. So we got just one or two or three or four instructions, and Prabhupada took those instructions to heart. But then one day he read a purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Bhagavad Gita. And that purport was, in essence, that one should take the instruction of the spiritual master as one's very life and soul. So that moment, Prabhupada had a revelation, and he began his publication of Back to Godhead magazine, and from that he went on to big books, Srimad Bhagavatam, and his mission in the Western country. So altogether, although he had very little vapu, he felt his relationship with the spiritual master to be very much active, very much alive, very much real on the platform of serving his instructions. So we shouldn't think that the instructions of the spiritual master are less potent than having the spiritual master's personal association. They're equal. And therefore, Prabhupada concludes his commentaries in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, by glorifying his spiritual master, he says he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So when we receive an instruction or we receive a service from our spiritual master, we should take that as one sense non-different than our spiritual master, and through that instruction, serving him even in separation, we can have his intimate association and advance in Krishna consciousness. But this association, not only spiritual master, but all devotees of the Lord. When Brahmananda was giving his lecture one time about the 10 offenses to the holy name in Prabhupada's association, the first offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives for preaching the glories of the Lord. He related this to Srila Prabhupada. He said, we can't blaspheme or disrespect Srila Prabhupada in any way. And Prabhupada checked him. He said, yes. He said, but this doesn't refer just to spiritual master. It refers to any devotee of the Lord. So we are fortunate that we live in the association of devotees, and we can hear from them. Every devotee has some realizations about Krishna consciousness, and we can serve those devotees. And by living in the association of devotees and serving them, this is perhaps the most potent way that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. So we're very, very fortunate on this Lakshmi Nrisimhadev Traveling Festival program. We have the association of so many Vaishnavas and so many Vaishnavis. Therefore, every morning with heartfelt feelings, we should bow down and say that prayer with feeling. Vansha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaibhacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namon. That I offer my most respectful obeisances unto the devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees. They can fulfill the spiritual desires of everyone, and they're full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. And when I tell devotees in devotees when we're traveling in America, that we have a tour, and they say, how many devotees are on your festival tour? I say, well, in the springtime, we have about 100, 120. What? 120 devotees? You know, in America, the temples, there's maybe, 10, 15. The biggest temple I know in America is Los Angeles. There's 32 devotees in that temple. Biggest temple in America is 32. So they say, 100. I say, yes. And I said, in summertime, it grows to 300. No! 300 devotees! And I just got a letter from a very dear godbrother of mine, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, who is a very nice devotee. He served as temple president in Los Angeles for many years, and then he left the temple service and he started a business. He has one of the biggest businesses in America. And I met him. I didn't know who he was. I was at Giriraj Swami's house, and we were having kirtan. And Giriraj Maharaj invited him over without telling me. He just forgot to tell me that one of our godmothers was coming. So this godmother came, and because he's a businessman, he has hair, and he was dressed in formal, clothes. He just came from work. And I thought he was just like the next-door neighbor or something. So he came in, and he's kind of stood, he's kind of a reserved person, he's very distinguished. He's a businessman, devotee, but, So, me and Giriraj Maharaj ended up having this wild kirtans, swinging the devotees around, and me and Giriraj Maharaj, we fall on the ground and we embrace each other. I won't go into details, but it was like a whomper, stomper, And, I had Giriraj Maharaj's feet on my head, and he took my feet on his head, and he was like, they got some photos of it. I'm like, God. So here's this next-door neighbor watching the kirtan. I think, oh my gosh, I better get him into it, So we stand up, and then at one point, I gently bring him into the kirtan. Teaching the mantra, Hare Krishna. Then I get him. I think, well, might as well just get this guy into the devotional circle. I feel like I'm swinging him around and put him on the ground and I embrace him. And afterwards, after the kirtan, we're kind of sitting together. I said, this chanting of Hare Krishna, this is the recommended process of self-realization in this age. And you get the most out of it by following certain rules. And there's four rules. It's like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya instructing Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, So he's sitting there and he's... I said, so what's your name, sir? I was going to say Bill or Joe. He said, now, my name is Gopal Bhattadas. I'm the former president of the Los Angeles Temple. He said, Mahamo Besnis Prabhu. So I said, what do you do? He says, I have a little business. I said, oh, good. I said, my son's a businessman. And he's very successful. In the last year, he's built up a million-dollar business. If you need any advice, maybe you could, contact him. He's going, I'm not supposed to go into too much detail, but this man is one of the most successful businessmen in America. He says, thanks, you know, I said, here's a donation. Wow! Hiroshi Prabhu, can I show you a video? He said, sure. He said, come on to the next room. I said, stand right here, you know. She said, the video. I showed him the video of the pulpit floor. He went, wow, you're doing big preaching over there. He said, how many devotees? I said, 120 in the spring, 300 in the summer. Wow. So it's a really expensive program, Prabhu. So actually, he's a very, very sincere devotee. He'd been out of active service for some time, but he went to Vrindavan. He was determined, I'm going to get back in Krishna consciousness. He said, I'll go and associate with God Brothers and the Holy Dhamma of Vrindavan. So he took 3 months off from his business, and he's Niranjan Swami, Mahanidhi Swami, Sachinandan Maharaj, Shivaram Swami. He just went from God Brother to God Brother and got so much sangha, so much association. And his whole idea now is just to, you know, with his abilities to spread Krishna consciousness like wildfire throughout America. He's very intelligent, a very good strategist, and has many good ideas for organization, because he's a businessman. He knows how to organize and structure things in such a way. And he came up to me and said, Maharaj, let's do a festival program in America. I said, well, you know, I mean, I don't have much time. He said, you know, he said, I'll help you. I'll help you. You know, you come and we'll work together. So he's such an intelligent person. I just, sometimes his ideas are just flying out of, I can't keep up with them, you know. And so successful. I said, okay. So he said, maybe I can give a couple of, I'm already in America 2 months, maybe I can give another month or something like that. He said, okay, so we'll set something up. And so he's coming here in June with another devotee who ran a festival program in Western America for years and years, a huge program, very, very successful. I just got an email from Gopal Bhatta yesterday. He wants to come and spend 4 days with us, and he wants to meet our management team. And then he wants to take our management team back to America in September and work closely with them on in the Western states, you know, traveling and analyzing, investigating, researching, and coming up with different ideas how to do a festival program in America. So, you know, anyway, Ananda Buddhi Bhadavanam, Krishna consciousness is always blissful when it's expanding. But this Prabhu will come, Gopal Bhatta and Shuru. They're going to come for our first festival in the summertime, those first 4 days. So we have to take good care of them because they're very nice Prabhus, and they're very eager to do service. So I'm thinking that somehow this festival program is going to expand, and maybe Prabhupada's dream of a worldwide Sankirtan party may become, we'll maybe see that within our lifetime, because these type of devotees can do big things. And if we have this teamwork, who knows what can happen. So there's some special, we're going to get some special association this year in our festival program, Jim. All right. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Shri Lakshmi Narasinghe Dev Traveling Festival Program Ki, Shri Prabhupada's Worldwide Sankirtan Party Ki, Go Premanande. The first Harinam Sankirtan party.